I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon today. I'll actually be reading the 127th Psalm. The Word of the Living God is living and active. Let us hear with diligence. A song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, open our eyes so that we may see wondrous things from your law. And now, in your kindness, allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and redeemer, we pray, and amen. You may be seated. All right, recently, and once again, in my reading of the Psalms, I noticed that children are mentioned quite often. Children are expected to be present. Children are included. Children are involved. And they get a hold of this. They are involved as children. They're expected to be children. They are involved as children. So children, I'd like every one of you right now to look at me. I can see you. And I'd like you to raise at least one hand. Every child. Yeah, thank you. It's good help right there. Okay, I'm looking, still looking. All right, very good. Thank you. Children, thank you. I see that hand. Yes, we are curious here. We are curious. We are unashamedly happy to include children and to worship with them and to have them worship with us. We are the family of God together. I've mentioned this before in some of these psalm passages to modify the title of one of Francis Schaeffer's books, but now applying it to the children here, is they are here and they are not silent. They are here and they are not silent. You can even hear it now. Usually it happens on cue. We have the noises of children here. We have the scampering of children here. We have busy parents, often tired parents. We have the disruptions which come from children, and we have something that's going on right here. We have the training which is going on now, but it reflects the training that is supposed to be going on during the week. You're training your children how to sit, how to listen, how to receive, how to respond. You're training them throughout, and when you do that during the week, then things go smoother here. And people will sit commonly in the back somewhere, they'll visit, they'll pop in. How does that even happen? How do you do that? It's training, it's discipleship, it's practice. But we have noises of children, we have children being children. There's more. There are wonderfully timed responses that some people think are ill-timed. You know, when they'll sing, they'll reply. There are little hands raised during the doxology, and you've seen it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'll look around. And it's beautiful. It's not because I'm looking to give you a citation if your hands aren't up. I'm enjoying the sight of the congregation, and you get to see it from there. You're behind little children, and their little hands are going up, and sometimes an auntie is training. Here, I see moms and dads. And then when we gather for a meal, sometimes somebody says, praise God, for, and we start singing, the children, boop. We see little hands go up during the doxology or the Gloria Patri. We see little knees bending. And we see moms and dads and brothers and sisters, this is how we do it. We see that here. It's pretty neat. There are wine spills during the Lord's Supper. And we should have a supply, now it's here, we should have a supply of that stuff called wine away or wine out or whatever it, because little girls' dresses and little boys, the boys don't. They're fine, pants are good. It's a battle scar. Little girls' dresses, a little wine stain on there, and and their little spray. We should have a case of that stuff. That's good stuff. I remember when children were little, you know, jostling and the wine was there. But get the wine away and let this be a reminder, no whining. We don't get rid of it. So we got there are little hands reaching for bread. Little hands reaching for bread. This biblical practice is, I want you to hear this again, it's radical and ridiculous in a day when children are unwelcomed and unwanted. I love what I've been seeing from some of the moms here, teaching the children to do certain things with St. Patrick's breastplate. It's just beautiful to see. The biblical practice of including children, expecting them to be here, and training them to be here is radical and ridiculous in a day when children are, by and large, unwelcomed and unwanted. By the way, this is no statement at all about how many children one must have or how many children God should give you. This is simply, positively, assuredly a statement that these little ones, born into and given to Christian households, are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are supposed to act like it. Now, back to the Psalms. This sermon is titled Children and the Psalms. I'm going to end with a brief focus on the 127th Psalm. But what I'd like to do today is to give you a little bit of a sampler platter of some of the references to children in the Psalms that I had been coming across lately, reading again for the very first time, and we'll go from there. So a few different passages today, three simple points, very simple, but first I'd like to offer you a contrast. We're getting ready to look at our Lord's wonderful expectation of children being welcome. But before we do that, let's flip that over, turn around, and look at a contrast. And I'm going to take this from G.K. Chesterton's The Everlasting Man. In the first part of that book, Chesterton was writing about fakers and competitors to the one true God. Fakers and competitors to the one true God. Some which ape that which is true, they ape the truth, and others revert, invert, or pervert the ways of the one true God. One of those whom he referred to happened to be demons. Demons are perverters, inverters, and reverters to the ways of God. They're fakers, and it's false. So one of those he referred to happened to be the demons, as well as those who pursue and sponsor that which is opposed to the Lord, including, this may shock you on a sermon called Children in the Psalms, including witches. Witches. I was stunned by this line, and I'm going to get to it in a moment, but first let me make a few witchy comments. Witches, in the imagination and in literature, are classically ugly. Ugly. And you're thinking, I didn't have to come here to learn that. I already knew that. Making a point that you already know. In the imagination and in literature are classically ugly, and they are supposed to be ugly. They're supposed to be ugly. They are supposed to be haggy, with cranked out hair, candy corn teeth, and a wart or two on the nose. They are scary looking because they are evil. Pointing out this ugliness does not ignore the fact that they sometimes appear to be alluring, captivating, or beautiful. when we are viewing the story or reading the story or hearing the story, we know this, and we know they are being deceptive in this. They're running things backwards. They're twisting things over. They're inverting and perverting things. Their true nature is skanky, ugly, but there's this deceptiveness of the alluring, captivating, and the beautiful. This show of beauty, temporary show of beauty, shows that they do have some demonic or devilish characteristics, such as that which marks out our ancient foe who transforms himself, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, into an angel of light. Back to Chesterton. In a section which spells out some of the contrast between the Christian faith and other beliefs, he speaks of some which intentionally work against the grain. They go opposite. They make something, quote, as ugly as possible, or, quote again, by working backwards. That's when he mentioned the witches as those who are opposed to children. And I quote, "People would understand," this is Chesterton, "people would understand better the popular fury against the witches if they remembered that the malice most commonly attributed to them was preventing the birth of children." This is presented in stark contrast to what we're going to see right now as we find in a few select psalms from this sampler platter. Three simple notes today. I'd like, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles, that would be great. First one is in the eighth psalm. The eighth psalm. In a psalm that declares the wonder of the works of the Lord and is ultimately about Jesus, the Son of Man, made for a little while lower than the angels, in the midst of all of the Lord's works, behold His works, the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, all of this about the work of the Lord. Note what the Lord Himself did. He became a little one, a baby, a little one. He became a wee one. It's a wonderful psalm. And we read in Psalm, I'm just going to read the first two verses, focusing on verse 2. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Here's the first point today. It's this, simple. Children are to be heard. And this is warfare. Children are to be heard, and this is warfare. The children of the covenant are to sing, and they are to sing out. As readers, they should be encouraged to read out as they speak up. They are to respond, children, you are supposed to respond with amens and such lines as, and also with you, and He is risen indeed. Children should know our psalms and our hymns. They should hum them and play them and sing them and recite them. But this passage speaks of babes, babies, and nursing infants. Somebody, some critic, some mocker says, what can they do? What can they do? They can't read out. They can't follow along in this order of worship? Oh, actually, they can. And they do. Not in the same way you do, but they do so as children, because children are to be present as children. What can they do? Somebody says, what can they say? What can they understand? What value is there to this cuteness and this cooing? But the Lord is clear here. Bless you. His strength is ordained and appointed through such little ones. We think that the Lord's strength is ordained and appointed through our intellect and our theological acumen. And because of what we've been able to put together, and the Lord says, you know what? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you'll see that I've appointed my strength. So we tend to trust in our strength and our wisdom, and that we can sort things out and figure things out. And our Lord says, actually, it's through the wonder of babies and those little ones who are nursing, my strength is on display. This is why those who attempt to silence and snuff out these little ones are actually engaging in war against the Lord, but they're actually pretending to be superior to the Lord. They are attempting to show off their strength. I'm going to silence those little ones because I have the strength to do so. They're going to mute or remove the little ones. So how mighty is the Lord? He has appointed these little ones in order to display His strength, and He does this, the Scripture says, because of enemies. What? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of enemies? Yeah, they're roiling and they're broiling and they're out there, and the Lord says, listen. Listen to the little ones. My strength is made manifest there. There's a type of conflict occurring. There's a battle, a warfare, and the Lord uses the mouths of babes and nursing infants in His engagement with the enemy. That's how filled with fear the Lord is. Here, I'm going to let the babies speak. The Lord allows the presence and the praises of His littlest warriors to be uttered so that He may silence the enemy and the avenger. He may silence the enemy. You know why? It's because they're constantly mouthing off. They're constantly popping off. The enemies of the Lord fume and they fuss and they vent while they rage. And the Lord allows the voices of His littlest servants to go goo and gah. Through this, our Lord shows His might and His power. You can't do this in all of your fuss. All you're trying to do in your enmity and opposition and in your hatred is you're trying to silence them. You can't make them. The Lord overcomes the opposition with weakness in order to show how weak and paltry their opposition is. What's the best you've got? Goo. What best you've got? Nursing baby. Children are to be heard, and this is warfare. Children are to be heard, and this is warfare. Number two, next, if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 34. So you just saw that from Psalm 8:2. Psalm 34, verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. Keep your Bibles open, because after this we're going to be turning to the Psalm 44. And then after this, Psalm 78. So be ready. As the training continues. Psalm 34, verse 11, a psalm of David. Was this psalm when David was before Abimelech pretending madness, like he's some nut job when he drooled on his beard or spit up on his beard because Saul was a maniac trying to kill David? Likely. But what does David say? I'd like to tell you about this. And so verse 11, he says, come, little children. Little children, I want you to gather. Come, you children, listen to me. You imagine that? If King David stands up or some minister stands up and says, come, little children, listen to me. I'd like to teach you the fear of the Lord. Wow. Come, children. Doesn't say, you know what? Once you graduate seminary, I want you to come up here. I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. Come, children. Come. So this second point is children are invited and involved. Children are invited and involved. The first one is they are to be heard, and this is a form of warfare. This second point is they are invited and involved. Come, children, I want you to learn this. Psalm 44, verse 1. Keep turning your Bibles. Turn to the right. Psalm 44, verse 1. The chief musician offers this contemplation. How does this particular song open? We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us. What did they tell us? The deeds you did in their days and the days of old. Now, yes, this is our fathers in the faith, but it's expected that the daddies now would say, son, I want to tell you something. Sweetheart, daughter, come here. Children, gather. I'd like to tell you what the Lord did in days gone by. Children, you are invited to hear these stories, and you're involved in these stories. Keep turning to the right. Psalm 78, I want you to see this. Again, sampler platter. Sampler platter. This whole psalm, by the way, is kind of a history lesson. Kids, I want to tell you a story of what our Lord has done throughout the years. But how does it begin? It's a contemplation of Asaph. Give ear, O my people. That sounds similar. Come, children, gather around. I want you to hear this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears, bend your ears to the words of my mouth. I'm going to open my mouth in a parable. And all of a sudden, children go, oh, that's neat. That's really neat. I want to hear that. Once upon a time, that's how it works. There once was a butcher and a baker. Oh, wait. There once was this tailor. He had this special thread. And all of a sudden, the psalm goes on. We're going to open our mouth in a parable. I'm going to utter dark sayings of old. Verse 3, which we have heard. We've heard this. This is familiar stuff, which we have known. Our fathers have told us. And we're not going to hide them from our children. We'll not hide them from their children. We're going to tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. So grandpa tells granddaughter, I'm going to tell you this story. I'm going to tell you how faithful our Lord has been. Son, when the Lord blesses you with children. Sweetheart, when the Lord blesses you, tell them these stories. Tell to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, of His strength, of His wonderful works that He has done. Children are to be invited and they are involved. They are to be told the stories, the events of our faith. They are part of the story. The children are part of the stories. So children, gather around. You know why? These are our stories. So let me tell you about the scoundrel Shammai. Shammai was a scoundrel. He loved himself and hated King David. He loved himself and did not like what the Lord was doing with the king. He made quick judgments about King David. Don't be careful, sweetheart, about making quick judgments. Don't be like Shammai. He was the guy who kicked up dust and threw stones. He went with the popular report rather than going with the Lord's report. Don't be like Shammai. And in contrast to Shammai, let me tell you about the tenacious loyalty of Barzillai. He was steady when he was younger, and that steadiness marked him when he was an old man. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to be a servant to King David. There's Shammai on the one side, don't be like him. And then there's Barzillai on the other side. Speaking of tenacious loyalty, let me tell you about Jeremiah's friend, whose name was Blessing, Baruch. Baruch was his name, Blessing. Let me tell you about him. Yes, Jeremiah wept. Jeremiah had great difficulties, and Baruch was steady. Then there were David's mighty men. And you know who was mightier than David's mighty men? David himself, when he refused to take revenge on Saul. Yeah, in the cave. He had him cut off some of the fabric there. He had the opportunity. He had the upper hand. He could have done it. David had all these mighty men. And you know what equipped him to be a leader of mighty men? He was mightier still because he went like this. No, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. So, son, daughter, children, the next time you're wanting to pop off and pipe off about somebody, be careful. Slow down. Take a look at a mighty man. Oh, yeah, they were the ones that took down Goliath. He took down Goliath. And you know what? David's mighty men took down the descendants of Goliath, because Goliath wasn't the only guy in his family. There were other descendants of the giant. They lived in Gath also. Gath, big guy, Gath, Goliath, rah, rah. There were a number of those. And you can read about them. The end of 2 Samuel. You can read about all these other giants. They were huge. And who took them down? How'd they take them down? Yes, there was even one guy that had six fingers on each, six on one hand, six on the other, six toes, 24 digits. That's a weird giant, but a big guy. He was taken down. Fascinating stuff. Oh, and then let me tell you, son or daughter, let me tell you about, there was once a dad who had two sons, and he asked his sons to go out and work in the vineyard. And the one son wanted to look good, and he said, yep, yes, Dad, I'm on it, I'll be right there. Sat down, did nothing. He sounded so good, because he said the right thing. And there was another son who said, no, Dad, I'm busy here, I'm not going to do it. And then that son repented and went and did what his father asked. Which son? These are our stories. Both ears get bent. So, the Psalm sampler platter. Children are to be heard, and this is warfare. Next, they are to be invited because they're involved. Third and last, we come to Psalm 127, the text I read today. Very simple. It's a psalm of ascents. It's a glorious psalm. It's a wondrous meditation filled with reminders, filled with encouragement. And we need gracious reminders like this because we tend to be fretting. We froth the milk. We grasp and we're sleepless and we're forgetful and we're marked by moil and toil. So this psalm comes before us and says, you know what? Life is filled with work and watching. You can be busy in work, building the house, and you are busy watching. This is part of what it means to be made in the image of God. So children, get busy and keep watching. It's part of what it means to be made in the image of God. My life is marked by work and watching. There are those who build the house and there are watchmen who watch the city. Work and watching. It's present. It's possible also, please note this, I've been there, you've been there. Kids, hear me. Children, hear me. It's possible to work in vain. It's possible to watch in vain. I've been there. Ask your grandma. Ask grandpa. It's possible to work in vain. When it comes to children, because this psalm mentions children, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. There's a great deal of work and watching involved. Look around. Remember your own childhood. Great deal of work. There's a great deal of watching. It's part being in the image of God, yes. And it's possible to pursue the work and the watching of children in vain. It's possible. But there's good news in this psalm. It's not just that you're working and you're watching. It's the Lord is working. And the Lord is watching. Unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord guards the city. The Lord is presented as a builder and a watchman. The Lord is the first and last worker, the one who precedes and follows our every labor. So get about it and work. My son, my daughter, work and watch. But it must be that you know that the Lord is the first one working and your work must fit with His work. And watch. But it must be understood, my son, my daughter, that the Lord is the one watching out. And if you're not watching out in line with what the Lord is watching out, it's in vain, empty, shallow, filled with despair. So children are mentioned, a heritage from the Lord, a gift. A gift. So what is this third point? The Lord gives. And the Lord works. The Lord gives children. Children are heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. It's militaristic. It's like arrows in the hand of a warrior. He's not gone. He's not out of ammo. He still has arrows in his hand. And this is what the children of one's youth are like. Happy is the one who has his quiver full of them. It says nothing here about how big the quiver is. It could be a small quiver full. It could be a large quiver full. Happy is the one whose quiver is full. They shall not be ashamed. Who? Those who have been so gifted, so blessed with children? Yeah. And the children themselves? Yeah. They will not be ashamed. Why? They know that it's a gift from the Lord and that everything we do is dependent upon the Lord's blessing. Oh, and you know what our temptation is here? There are two, by the way, this psalm strikes at two big problems. It strikes at, hey, all laziness, or I can do it all myself. We are tempted to do nothing. And this psalm says, you know what? You don't have that excuse. If you're going to go ahead and labor, make sure that the Lord is laboring alongside. You're supposed to labor. Laziness is not an option. Number two, be careful of the idea that, you know what? It's all me. It's all me. The Lord gives children and the Lord works. So let's end today. Very simple. Children and the Psalms. Sampler platter today. There are children in the Psalms. And you know what? I'd love to see the Psalms in our children. We are all the children of God. We are all the children of God. And you know what we get to do? Those of us who are older than the typical young children, we get to model these points when we gather. Number one, children are to be heard, and this is warfare. All of you children of God are addressed in the same way. Children are to be heard, and this is warfare. Number two, children are invited and involved. Number three, children are given, and the Lord is the one who labors and watches faithfully for the little ones and for all of us. Our Lord is so kind. Children and the Psalms. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, cause your blessings to rest upon us with the retention of your word. May it sink deeply into our hearing and shape our speech, our thoughts, our every step. I pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen.